not that complicated. No matter what they say, I'll never meet another you. It's not that difficult to get my head around. I'll never meet another you.
An Offer You Can't Refuse, written by Avoiding Average. Chapter 2, read by Past Assault. The losses were incurred during routine patrols. The wards responsible have been punished to ensure they would not cost the pack anything else. The wolf standing at the center of the room was obviously sweating in his ill-fitting suit. Despite the obvious tension from his audience, Hayes hadn't seemed to realize the danger he was in quite yet. Instead, he continued to blather on about how he'd punished the wolves beneath him for the mistakes caused by his own choices. At the edge of the massive desk along one wall, a scarred wolf watched the scene with an obvious air of disapproval. Esco had served as the butcher's best enforcer and consigliere for years without anyone daring to question his loyalty or his abilities. He had paid for that reputation in blood, that of his enemies as well as his own. The result of those years of dedication appeared to be being trapped in front of an endless line of idiots fighting for the approval of the alpha beside him. Hayes continued to ramble on about why the failure of their latest shipment was anyone's fault but his own, while his alpha continued to look over the carefully precise list of materials that had been stolen. On paper, it was hardly enough of a loss to threaten the care pack's control of most of Blaviken, but Geralt was not the sort of wolf to allow such a thing to go without notice. He wouldn't stop until he found whoever was foolish enough to steal from his pack and think they could get away with it. Esco glanced over at Geralt in time to see the alpha narrow his eyes at Hayes. And who was in charge of security for the shipment? Hayes had the gall to look annoyed at the interruption. There was no reason to think they needed additional security. Except for the theft, Geralt added in an even voice. It was a common mistake made by those who had not trained directly with Geralt to assume that the alpha's greatest strength was his size and brutality. They assumed that he was like the alpha he'd replaced and like so many others. They looked at Esco and believed that the consigliere was the real reason for their pack's success. For the most part, Geralt enjoyed catching people by surprise when they stepped too close to the true predator in their midst. They only took a few cases, Esco murmured to him, looking over the list. Mostly materials earmarked for Aretusa. The Sayer will need to know. Do you think she did this? Geralt asked. The question was an obvious display of the trust that existed between them. The consigliere shook his head. She risks too much by losing us as a supplier. There's no one else capable of moving such large shipments without raising the attention of the police. Geralt hummed and let the paperwork fall onto his desk. So it was a pack. Mentally, he considered the packs large and foolish, enough to threaten the peace he so carefully enforced within the city. Since he'd taken over the care pack, the violence within Blaviken had settled as the city fell into districts controlled by the three largest packs in the region. At its center stood Aretusa and its mages, promising destruction to anyone who dared to step over their boundaries or harm the humans who inhabited the city. All of them knew what sort of devastation would follow a war with the humans. Such a thing would wipe out the small population of inhuman creatures who'd made their home here. As would another pack war. Maybe it was just some humans, Hayes offered. They might have wanted some street cred or something. Geralt took a slow, deep breath, feeling his wolf rising to the surface in the face of this man's idiocy. He made a mental note to look into who the fuckers thought Hayes could handle something as important as the butcher's shipments. Are you telling me the security was so lax that a human could get through? He asked in a low, deadly voice. At the edges of the room, Geralt's enforcers shifted, eyes flashing in response to the violence rising in the air. It was the guard's fault! I wasn't even there when... Hayes cut himself off, eyes widening as he realized what he'd admitted. Immediately, the wolf took a step away from Geralt. I'd just gone to assist in another issue nearby. What sort of issue? Eskel said. There were reports of the Fenrir being spotted nearby. The room went still at the mention of the strange new legend born in Blaviken. For the past few weeks, the entire city had been buzzing with rumors about the wolf responsible for the death of Stregobor. Stregobor had been a major power and the information broker in the city for decades, but it hadn't been enough to stop whatever man or woman that had pinned him to the concrete outside his apartment building by the sword in his gut. Geralt had to approve the sort of vengeance that could leave your lifeless enemy dangling from 10 stories above the earth. No one in Blaviken truly mourned Stregobor's passing. The old wolf had been just as likely to turn on allies as he was anyone else. There were rumors that he'd been the one who'd sold out the Skellige Pact to the Nilfgaardians years ago. It would explain how Stregobor had managed to establish himself as a lone wolf after being an enforcer for the Pancrat's household for so long. The only clue anyone could find was a single blurry image taken from the security cameras of a massive shaggy wolf walking on the street away from the murder scene. No pack or rogue wolf had claimed a kill for themselves. Instead, excitable wolves had dubbed the unknown killer Fenrir in a flight of fancy. All of the packs had been on edge waiting to find a killer or to recruit them for their own uses. Some instinct told Geralt that the Fenrir wouldn't stop at killing Stregobor. Eskil sent his elf a quick look before refocusing on Hayes. You left your post to look for Fenrir? Yes, Hayes said eagerly. I wanted to be sure he wouldn't attack our transporters. You tried to protect the shipment, Geralt said slowly, disbelief evident, by leaving the shipment unprotected. Yes, Alpha. The butcher stood, ignoring the way Hayes cowered back immediately. There was a headache pounding at his temples at the stupidity of the wolf in front of him. Worse, the fact that Hayes had managed to be placed in a position where his stupidity had cost Geralt's pack income and potentially reputation meant that somewhere within his own power structure was a weak link. It would need to be dealt with. Eskil. The consigliere immediately focused on Geralt. See that he is punished for his failure. 50 lashes will suffice. Hayes blanched, stepping forward until Geralt's expression caused him to freeze. But, Alpha, it wasn't my fault! You left your post to follow a rumor. The wolves under your command were injured as a consequence. Be glad that all you're receiving is 50 lashes. The other wolf looked like he might try arguing again, but quailed beneath the power that emanated around his alpha. His eyes darted around the room like he was hoping for an ally, but none of the wolves moved. 50 lashes would injure Hayes enough that he would limp for a few days, but it wasn't death. The butcher was well within his rights to demand Hayes' life for his mistakes. Two of the wolves guarding the door stepped forward to drag Hayes away before the idiot brought more trouble on himself. Hayes continued to make muffled sounds of protest once the door closed behind him. Eskil waited a beat before gesturing towards the remaining wolves in the room, clearing the room until he was alone with Geralt. He gave the alpha a careful look. It wouldn't make sense for the Fenrir to be behind this. Geralt agreed, but he arched an eyebrow at his second in a silent request for him to expound on why he thought so. We aren't sure why the Fenrir would have attacked Stregobor, but there's no reason for him to follow a murder with an attack on a supply run, the consigliere continued. It would have taken more than one wolf to move the cases, even if he was strong enough to subdue the rest of our men. Even without Hayes, there were 4 wolves with the shipments. Did the others see anything? No, Eskil shook his head. There was evidence that a spell was used to knock them out. Geralt looked down at the list of stolen supplies, trying to think of what they might be used to produce. While mages made most of potions and various medicines used by a pack, Eskil had always preferred to make their own materials to avoid the risk of tampering. It meant Geralt was relatively familiar with the plants and items that could be used to harm another wolf. Silver nitrate was never a good thing to lose control of, and, according to the ledger, they'd lost a significant amount in this raid. It also taken white myrtle petals and mistletoe in large quantities. None of these items would fetch a significant price at market, which made the risk the thieves had taken more bizarre. Call Yen and see if there are any new mages in the city. I need to know if anyone might be trying to tilt the scales in their favor. He considered the ledger and the map tucked beneath it. Send out a message to our people in the city. Anyone selling these materials should be brought to me. Immediately. Yes, Alpha. Esco hesitated on the other side of Geralt's desk, eyes on the ledger. This isn't some random hit or get-rich scheme. The ingredients they stole... it has to mean something. I know, but what? You're better at brewing potions. What could these ingredients be used for? White metal petals could be a base for anything, but the silver nitrate is the bigger threat. In the right concentration, it can be used as a poison for wolves. They could wipe out a pack in a single hit. Geralt grunted, pacing away from his desk to the window. The skin felt too tight as his beast fought to free itself. The urge to protect his territory, his pack, was a rising knot in his chest in search of an outlet. It was hardly the first time his hold on Blaviken had been challenged. His rise to power had been the result of years of violence that had left him scarred and battle-hardened. He knew better than to trust the brief moments of peace would last. He considered the packs in the city and the tenuous truce between them. Aretusa had always remained neutral in the pack conflict and knew that their position relied on maintaining that standard. There were several small packs at the fringes of his territory, but none of them had ever wanted to risk attracting the attention of the Care Pack. They were mostly made up of nuclear families working as farmers or ranchers in the countryside. Many of them supplied materials for the Care Pack in return for their continued independence. That left him with the packs inside city limits. The Reavers rarely bothered with pack diplomacy and weren't above attacks like this, but had never shown an interest in the ingredient material trade of the Care Pack. He doubted Boholt would bother with any subterfuge if he wanted to try to take Geralt's territory. The old wolf would simply challenge him directly. Nilfgaard, on the other hand, wasn't above stabbing their enemies in the back to gain power. It had never been proven, but Geralt had always wondered how Ymir had taken over the southern region of the city so quickly after the Pancrats Pack massacre. Fuckers, he said in disgust. Ymir should have been killed long ago. Esco nodded. He's never given us a reason to believe he would break the truce. No one wants to risk another war. We need proof that it's Nilfgaard before we go after Ymir. He's been increasing his numbers over the years, preparing for someone to challenge him. Won't be easy, the other wolf agreed. We can't move on them until we can keep the other packs from turning on us. Ymir is too good at manipulating his image. Abruptly, the Alpha slammed his hands against the desk and scowled down at the details of the hit. He hated dealing with this sort of back-alley scheming. His fingers curled into claws against the dark wood as he fought against the rage threatening to overwhelm his control. Eskel was right to recommend patience, but Geralt had never enjoyed the political maneuvering that came with his new title. Things had been much easier when he'd been Vesemir's enforcer. He scowled and reached for his jacket. Let me know what Yennefer says. Sounds like you need to blow off some steam, Eskel commented dryly. Will it be fucking or fighting? Geralt rolled his eyes at his brother's judgmental tone, but couldn't protest. The new issue in his supply line and the lack of leads in the perpetrators left his wolf restless and unsettled. He couldn't trust himself not to return bloody if he shifted into his other form. Ignoring Eskel's smug look, he stalked toward the door. I'm going to the bar. Seeing Kaer Morhen full of people and life always filled Geralt with the sort of bone-deep satisfaction that he imagined a man might feel towards a new car or a trophy wife. It was the first thing he'd changed once he'd taken the title of Alpha from Vesemir. He'd spent weeks carefully renovating outdated wiring and replacing the decoration until the entire building gleamed. His scent was embedded into every inch of the space, fulfilling a primal need to claim it as its own. In a surprising twist, Lambert had been the one to truly enjoy making Kaer Morhen a success. He'd spent weeks carefully cultivating a menu of drinks and training each new employee to his exact specifications. The hot-headed wolf's temperament seemed to thrive in customer service so long as he maintained the right to throw anyone out of the club without question. He was also good at keeping an eye on people of interest while he worked at the bar. As soon as he stepped out of his vehicle, the enforcer at the door stepped forward to eagerly greet him. The wolf was a new member of his pack, but had been eager to prove that he could be useful. It was obvious that Geralt's bad mood had already bled into his pack bonds and was strong enough to make his betters uneasy. "How's it been tonight?" Geralt asked, clasping the other man's shoulder. The younger dwarf perked up immediately, eager to please. "Haven't been any issues so far. Lambert's covering the bus and Sugar was off tonight." He nodded and slipped past him to enter the bar. Immediately, the wall of noise and scent swept over him, adding to his headache. Humans and wolves alike filled the space to dance and drink in the space Geralt had guaranteed to be safe. Everyone preferred to keep the Butcher of Blaviken on their good side. Instead of making his way to a booth or the dance floor to find a winning partner for the night, Geralt angled towards the bar. He was glad to see the space was full. It promised good profits and good odds that someone might provide him the information he needed. Lambert immediately broke away from an impatient-looking man in a too small shirt to walk over to where Geralt leaned against the bar. "Didn't expect you here tonight," he muttered. "The usual? Make it a double." For a few minutes, he continued to scan the dance floor for anyone of interest. The band must have taken a break because the speakers were playing some canned pop song while the drummer drank from a water bottle at the edge of the stage. The clink of a glass settling on the bar in front of him drew his attention back to Lambert. "What happened to put you in such a mood?" the bartender asked. "Someone hit our supply line."
"Bullshit," Lambert said. "No one is that stupid."
Geralt full of haze and felt his skull deepen.
"What did they take?"
"Silver nitrate and a few other ingredients."
"I bet that put Eskel in the mood.
Do you know who did it?" He shook his head and ignored the question. "Anyone of interest show up here tonight?" Lambert shrugged. "There's a few of the Reaver pack celebrating a graduation in the back. They've been relatively quiet considering how much liquor they've already drunk. I spotted a loner out in the crowd, but she left with a date not long after." The enforcer's attention drifted to the other end of the bar. "That Nilfgaardian idiot has been hanging around a new singer, though." Attention peaked. Geralt followed Lambert's gaze to two men standing on the opposite side of the bar. It was easy to recognize Vorhis' flashy clothing and gaudy jewelry, even from a distance. The enforcer was leaning against the bar with a leering smile, stretching his pockmarked face as he angled his body to his companion, purposely pinning the other man against the bar. But it wasn't the Nilfgaardian that made something inside Geralt go taut with anticipation. He stared at the slender brunettes facing Vorhis with his back to Geralt. The man was dressed in form-fitting leather pants that showed off a trim waist and a delicious-looking ass. His hair was curly and cut to chin length, exposing the nape of his neck in a way that seemed designed to drive a wolf mad. Geralt's mouth watered with the need to put his mark on that pale skin. Judging by the way he could feel his eyes flashing gold and his teeth beginning to shift, his wolf agreed.
"Who is he?" he growled.
"I think his name's Yaskian. He's a new singer who's trying out. Nice enough kid, even if he's just passing through. Forrest has been trying to get him drunk enough to go home with him for the past 10 minutes. Just the thought was enough to have a snarl ripping free from his chest. Geralt stood and prowled closer, ignoring the way the humans around him immediately moved out of his way. He sucked in a deep breath and scented warm amber and honey, melting across his tongue in a heady wave. He didn't need to know it came from this strange new wolf in his territory. Forhis was too focused on the singer to notice the alpha until he was nearly on top of him. His voice was audible over the pulsing music grating against Geralt's ears. "I thought you might be one of the butcher's playthings. You're just his type." Geralt found himself straining to hear the first notes of a voice designed to drive men mad. The singer leaned forward until Forhis' eyes went wide and Geralt's claws pricked his palms as he felt the urge to rip the other wolf apart.
"I'm no one's plaything. Not even the butcher's."
The menace in the singer's voice was enough to make a dark smile grow on his own face. Forhis was too stupid to notice the malice lurking beneath the teasing statement. Whoever this strange new wolf was, he certainly wasn't the type that would be satisfied with some idiotic enforcer. Geralt relished watching the fear spread across Forrest's face as he looked up and noticed the alpha standing beside them. The Nilfgaardian immediately dropped his hand from the singer's wrist and stepped back, hands raised in a placating gesture. Yaffa ignored the wolf as soon as he was out of reach, and focused on the moment when the singer turned to face him. The world went still around him, refocusing on the dark fan of lashes circling bright blue eyes. Then it was the line of a strong jaw and the constellation of freckles spreading across his nose and cheeks. There was a hint of eyeliner around his eyes, adding depth to already gorgeous features. Those eyes widened in surprise when he saw Geralt standing behind him and Geralt's wolf preened at the attention. "Are you sure you don't want to play, little bird?" he asked in a voice that was husky with interest. The wolf's mouth opened noiselessly for a second before he swallowed and seemed to regain control of his expression. A haughty, unimpressed look erased the shock of a few moments earlier, and Geralt mentally applauded how quickly the change took place. The musician made a show of looking the alpha over before arching an eyebrow. "Do I have a choice?" "I don't need to force anyone into my bed," Geralt said. "I prefer my partners to be willing. And begging for more, but they would get to that later." "You're the butcher of Blaviken," the singer replied, unbothered by the risk of offending the alpha who owned most of the city. "They may be too afraid to say no." "Are you afraid, little bird?" Geralt took a step closer, barely resisting the urge to reach out and tuck the other wolf closer. "I'm not afraid of anything," the other wolf snapped. "You..." Before he could finish the thought, Lambert's voice called out over the music. "Yaskir, your break is up. Get your ass on stage." Yaskir pointedly looks away from Geralt to focus on the bartender, ignoring the alpha's power simmering in the air around them. The singer smiled brightly at Lambert.
"All right, boss."
Without bothering to acknowledge the butcher beside him, Yaskir turned and slid into the crowd with liquid grace. He darted in and out of view as he made his way back to the stage, chatting briefly with the drummer before reaching for a simple guitar leaning against the speakers. Yaskir slid it over his head with easy confidence and strummed his fingers over the strings to check that they were properly tuned.
"Bad idea, Geralt."
Geralt didn't look away from the stage. "What do you mean?" he asked Lambert innocently.
"He reeks of trouble," Lambert muttered.
"And secrets." Yaffa watched the band beginning to play the opening chords of a new song and smiled faintly. "Maybe I like this kind of trouble." End of chapter 2. I know, I know, I know the situation's strange.